Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by a host of co-hosts today. We've got Cody Thompson. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Pat.
We've got Bo Johnson. How you doing, Bo?
Hey, everybody. Great to be here.
And Tracy Noble. Tracy's behind the glass, as we say, making us stick to our guns here. How you doing, Tracy?
Doing great.
We got Matt and Karen in the room too, trying to capture everything. So, Tracy, what is our topic today?
Today, we're going to talk about over-communication. It's called Say It Again and Again and Again.
And sort of tongue-in-cheek, Pat, I started our conversation before the podcast saying, okay, but why are we talking about that again? Didn't we already do an episode about this? So in all seriousness, what new could you have to say about over-communication and why did you want to talk about that today?
Because no matter how much we say it, every leader, including ourselves, every leader of a company, of a department, of a school, a church, every parent continues to under-communicate. There is just something about over-communication that's really hard to do, and we kind of want to unpack that. Hmm. That's my answer, and I've seen it again and again and again. You tell people you have to over-communicate, and they repeat themselves once, and they go, is that enough? And it's not even close. And so we really want to talk about all of this.
So I ask this sort of question to you fairly often, Pat, and I'll just ask it again in terms of over-communication. Why is it that you think leaders don't do this? Or what's the hesitancy to them over-communicating?
Yeah, that is the first question, right? It's like, why in the world? I mean, we've said it in our books and we've talked to people and everybody gets it. They're like, yeah, you're right. We got to do that. And then it doesn't happen. And I think that the first understanding, I mean, the first reason is because people just really don't quite get how much people have to hear things before they believe it. So it's just a lack of understanding. It's ignorance about the importance of over-communication. So that's the first one. That's pretty straightforward, right? But I think the biggest one is they're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to, by over-communicating, by repeating themselves, that they're going to offend their audience, whether that's their employees who are going to think, man, do you think we're stupid? Are you micromanaging us? Or they're afraid that the audience is going to go, we're so bored with this. Or that the audience, that the people you're communicating to are going to think less of you, like, you're really quite stupid for saying that again. Or finally, they're afraid that they're going to make fun of them. And I like to say, if you're a good leader, people should be able to do a good impression of you and you're not around, but nobody really likes that. So I think it's kind of basic fear that people are going to think you're dumb or that you think they're dumb or that you're wasting their time. I think that's probably the biggest one.
Pat, even as you went through those options, when we started a podcast, I found myself very regularly in conversations and I'm like outside of maybe the podcast and I can't remember where I said something. And I was so afraid that, I already told this story and I can't remember if I told the story to you or if I said it on a podcast or if I said it on a webinar. And it took a little while, that fear that you talked about of like, am I offending the person? Like, oh no, I already said this before. It took a while to sort of shed some of that and realize, hey, actually, some of our podcast listeners have heard the same story from us a couple times. And even then, that's okay. In fact, it's probably not enough in some cases. Like the idea that we constantly have to be repeating things until so that people can actually absorb them. And it's in part that they hear it and understand it, but then believe it's true is the other part.
Right. And you know, I am not offended when other people over-communicate. Like when I hear somebody that has something good to say and says it two or three times, I'm like, man, I love that. Whether it's the priest at church, whether it's an author, whether it's a speaker, whether it's a friend. But somehow the thought that I might do it and offend them is just something I don't want to ever have to deal with. So it's a weird thing. I like it when other people remind me, but I'm afraid of over-reminding them and them being frustrated.
You know, so Cody and I work in the same office most days of the week. And one of the themes over the last year that we've talked about quite a bit is this tension of listening, but also communicating. because we want to be, as leaders, we want to be good listeners and we want to hear what other people are thinking and get their input. Could you guys speak to that tension of you still want to be a listening leader who understands what's going on in your people's lives and their input and they need to weigh in to buy in, but also being really clear and communicating?
Well, the way I do it is I make Bo listen and I do all the communicating. No.
That's his genius. He's a listener. Yeah. You don't have that genius.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I think what you're saying is sometimes it has to be a back and forth where you're actually trying to figure things out. And sometimes you're just informing people of something that is. And yeah, most of what we're talking about when we talk about over communication is kind of informing people of something that is. And I think sometimes when you're a leader, you have to realize people want you to do that. And I know we live in a world where it's like nobody is supposed to be an authority. Nobody's supposed to tell anybody else how things are. But frankly, most people I know kind of want their leader to lead. And we have to accept that role and say clarity is pretty important. And even if you're not necessarily heard in that moment, there's a benefit to clarity. Cody, what were you thinking?
Well, you know, like the implication there is, oh, leaders always need to be talking or listening. And when we talk about over-communication, it is primarily related to the answers to the six critical questions. It's like, boy, we have our clarity. We know why we exist. We know how we behave. We know what we do. We know how we will succeed and what the most important thing is and who does what. Those six questions, that's the thing that, you know, the examples we've used on this podcast before, like Gary Kelly is a champion of in Southwest, is it's not that he just feels the need to constantly be the person talking, but he's reiterating the answers to those questions every way imaginable every time he gets an opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, and for people that don't know, he's the former CEO of Southwest. He just stepped down and he was never afraid to over-communicate. He was constantly reminding people of what they needed to hear. And that was, I think, one of his great traits as a leader.
Yeah. You know, Pat, you often, you know, when you're giving a speech and you get to the over-communication part, you do this funny thing where you say, people need to hear it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And I'm counting with my fingers for people who can't see that on the podcast. But you'd say it seven times, right? Because that is the moniker, right? People need to hear something seven times. But every time you do that on the speech, I'm like, boy, okay, that's a lot. You know, when you say again seven times in a row, it really lands with, boy, you just spent 30 seconds saying the same word over and over again. But it goes to show you that, like you said at the top, most leaders don't get even close to over-communicating.
Yeah, yep. We're going to run this episode 7 weeks in a row, which is a good point to be made. It's not about repeating it verbatim exactly the same way. It's constantly reiterating simple messages that matter because, and I think it needs to, we need to say this because even bad communicators, bad organizations, what I mean by that is not unhealthy ones. The leaders say things that they don't really mean. Mm-hmm. And employees, I mean, like every company will say like, employees are our greatest asset or the customer is always right or quality is job one or something like that. And everybody goes, yeah, everybody pretty much says that. But when they hear it again and again in this setting and reinforced and another story about it and another story about it, they go, wait, I think these ones are, this time they're serious. So we have relatively skeptical, if not at times cynical employees for good reason. Because marketing, everybody says everything's great. But when they need to know that the leader is going to say it until they're blue in the face. And then they're like, okay, this guy or this gal really means it.
I know for me, it feels risky to keep communicating and over communicating because sometimes as the leader, you're like, does everybody else still like this idea? Does this, like, it's putting your confidence out there. And I was chatting with a leader earlier this week who was feeling some of that vulnerability of, okay, is this even the right thing? And I'm like, your team is not going to believe it more than you do. Your team is not going to believe this is the direction, is what we need to do, that this is our value more than you believe it. So really as the leader, you are taking the risk to step up and say, I'm going to keep heading us in this direction with my words. Do you guys feel that? Do you ever feel, Pat, as the leader of our company, like that it's risky to keep, or you feel a vulnerability to keep communicating?
Yeah, well, you feel like every time you do it, maybe somebody's going to say, I don't like that anymore. Which is purely my insecurity. Mm-hmm. I mean, and leaders have these insecurities. It's like, yeah, they want you to stand up and say, this is still important. This is still important. So it's what I call the kind of the downside of humility, is that you want people to kind of buy in all the time, and you don't want them mm-hmm. to think that you're trying to push. But sometimes as leaders, it's our job to push. And that's that. It's not humble not to do that. It's actually just kind of weak. And I say that as somebody who's done that.
The way you asked that question, Bo, what went through my mind is like, oh, the leader might be a little afraid. Do people still buy into this or believe that this is the thing? Well, the fail safe way of making sure they don't buy into it is to not repeat it over and over and over again. Like exactly. If you're questioning it, and as a result, that causes you to not say it over and over again, that's a great way to make sure your employees know you don't believe it. And, you know, it's funny, I'm an over-communicator when I feel like people aren't understanding it, but I'm not naturally love to repeat myself. And so one of the things I've tacked on to the people need to hear something seven times before they believe it or they hear it is the second part and typically it takes you repeating something 3 to 4 times to get annoyed at yourself. Like if you're not irritated with how often you're saying this, it's very likely that you're not saying it enough. And so like if you're judging as a leader, like, hey, am I saying that enough? Then a good litmus test is, am I kind of a little irritated that I'm saying this again? But it's your responsibility to keep doing it.
Yeah. I think it's a great point, which brings us, Cody, to, I was going to save this till later, but I think what you just said makes sense. Another reason why leaders don't over-communicate is because they themselves get bored. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm bored with this message. And I've had leaders say that, and I'm like, well, your job isn't to entertain yourself. Your job is to make sure everyone knows what is true and what the plan is, and that they get it, and they know that it's still there. And if we think that our job is to avoid boring ourselves, or that we're doing it to entertain ourselves and communicate something new, that's how we get into this flavor of the month thing where everybody feels like they're at a tennis match. Their heads are going one direction, then another and another, because we're keep changing the messaging. The job of a leader is to keep people focused, not to entertain themselves.
Yeah, over-communicating helps clarify to the team the goalposts haven't moved.
Right.
You're still heading in the right direction. We're doing the right thing. And Cody, we've started doing something more often in meetings that you and I are in together, which is making sure at the end of the meeting that we actually over-communicate what we talked about in the meeting. And it's such a simple thing. Do you want to talk about that, like of how you've seen that or how it's made a difference in our meetings?
What's funny is like, this is something you've written about how end of meeting clarity, you know, like we work at your company and then we have all these meetings and then for a while we forget. So we'll leave the meeting and we're like, oh wait, what was that? Did we decide on that? Mm-hmm. Or did we just discuss that without a decision? And every single time we have the discipline at the end of a meeting to use the last 3 minutes to clarify what decisions we made and over communicate it. Every single time that happens, I'm like, oh yeah, that is really good, super helpful. And yet somehow we still miss it in some meetings. And so the idea that leaving that last, because especially on Zoom, you know, you go to the top of the hour and it's like we're still in the middle of the conversation and everybody has a new Zoom call the minute after that. So they're just hopping out of that room into the next room. If you have the discipline in that last 3 minutes to say, hey, we're going to stop talking about this, but let's take the last 3 minutes to clarify and over-communicate what we decided, it is a dramatic improvement. And so Bo is more disciplined about that than I am, but I appreciate you doing that, Bo.
It's so interesting because, well, interesting is the wrong word. It's hard to do because our conversations are usually pretty interesting. And I like interesting. At 12:56... if you stop the conversation to go, okay, I got to stop this interesting thing that we're talking about to make sure we know what we're doing, that's not that fun. I, in the world of Working Genius, am an inventor, and I want to keep thinking and talking about new ideas. I don't want to bring closure. I want to keep that conversation going. But Cody, to your point, typically when we do it, the rest of the team says thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's so funny. I mean, the simple disciplines that we have to do. And I think one of the ways to keep ourselves doing it is to actually take a look at the opposite. Like when we talk to people about managing poor performers, people are always like, yeah, that's hard, that's hard. And when I get to them, I go, well, what's going to happen if you don't? Your best performers are going to want to leave. And they're like, oh, crap. Okay, I have to do this. So when people say, I don't really want to over-communicate, one of the things I like to say is, okay, let's talk about why you would prefer under-communicating. What happens when you under-communicate? Okay, people are confused. People aren't bought in. And people leave organizations when they feel like they don't know what's important. Nobody has ever left an organization because they were like, if the CEO reminded us of the purpose and the mission of our company one more time, I just had it. I couldn't do it. And nobody ever left their husband or their wife because they told them they loved them too much. You know, and so when somebody says, man, I just hate the idea of it being trite if I tell my wife I love her, I'm like, well, let me just tell you this. If you're going to err on one side, err on that one. Mm-hmm. And err on the side of over-communicating. Let people tease you and say, yeah, we know, rather than have them say, yeah, I'm leaving because I never really felt like I knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And which brings me to something very theological almost. And that is, there's a difference between over-communicating, which we would call a sin of commission. That's mean you're doing something too much. Mm-hmm. Versus under-communicating, which is a sin of omission, which means you're not doing it enough. A sin of omission is when you don't treat people well, but you didn't do anything mean. A sin of commission is when you're mean to somebody. We always prefer omission because, well, you can't really criticize what you don't know didn't happen, but we in our hearts know we didn't do it. So I find most leaders, that's a long explanation, prefer a sin of omission because you can't really get made fun of or accused of a sin of omission because it didn't actually happen, but it's still wrong.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's so interesting, Pat, is of all the leaders I've had the privilege of meeting, being at this company and in other companies, there's so many times that they're like, "Well, I don't want to be considered like a cheerleader, like go out there and just do the same thing over and over again." And I remember one conversation, and this is true of almost all of them: is we're not asking you to go out and just beat the same drum over, like you're in no danger of becoming a cheerleader in your organization. We're just asking you to do this much more. They're so afraid. There's a funny comedian who's like, his way of not going to the gym is like, well, I don't want to get too swollen. I don't want to get like a bodybuilder. And he's like, why don't you just drive past the gym a little bit? You're in no danger of getting too strong right away. Just go there and do a little bit of rep.
Right.
Yeah. So, as I'm hearing this, I'd love for you all to weigh in on kind of passive communication. So a lot of what you've talked about is the leader starting a meeting or end a meeting, or it kind of almost sounds like they're getting on Zoom, they're in front of their team. What about like the, you know, when putting the mission statement and printing it as a poster in the wall or in the hallway, or having t-shirts that have what's most important right now on them, or in your email signature saying, these are our company values, or a newsletter in the bathroom stall, or like, what are your thoughts on like that more passive way of over-communicating?
Well, my thought is that it's a great idea if you're constantly communicating verbally and yourself and you're doing it, then it's gravy or it's icing on the cake. But if you're not doing the other stuff, it's barely better. And sometimes it's worse because it's like, this dude or this lady doesn't even talk about this, but she puts it on a t-shirt. You actually run the risk of it seeming insincere. So I say, if you do that after you've already committed to over-communicating yourself, good on you. But other than that, not. Tracy, you have a thought.
I actually want to interrupt you guys for a little segment that we're going to try to start doing from this point on. Mm. So we get a lot of feedback from our listeners, and we've received several emails lately that have said, bring back the unpaid ads. We want you guys to do the unpaid ads. So let's take a little time out now and let's do an unpaid ad.
Hmm. Matt, this was yours. Tell us what it is. Bo has some thoughts about it too.
Yeah, I'm no galvanizer, but I have a specific brand of pen that I strictly, I'm very loyal to them because I think they make good pens and you can write on anything. It's called a Zebra Z Grip. And that's the extent of my galvanizing. They're good pens. They write on paper. They write on your hand. If you don't have any paper, they're good at that. So,
well, no, they're not. Your pen is wrong. I love that you have a favorite pen. We asked, okay, everybody, what's your favorite pen? And when Matt showed his favorite pen, I about lost it.
What's your wife's favorite pen, Bo?
That's her favorite pen. And we have a constant argument about this because I'm a tool pen guy. Tool, you know, 0.5 millimeter tool, blue, always blue tool pen. So
blue.
I think you're both kind of geeky for even having a favorite pen, but we're gonna push both of those pens because it's nice to have a good pen.
My favorite pen is the one that is closest to whatever I'm trying to write on. So
excellent. So this commercial
break. We'll see if this segment continues in the future. Good idea, though, listeners. I love it.
Well, Cody's idea for doing an unpaid ad today was golf. It's good.
That's right. Just generally golf.
You're yeah, gonna people aren't talking about golf enough.
All righty. So back to over-communication. You know, I really think that the key to summarizing this is I want somebody to communicate so much, and we've yet to hear this, that it actually causes a problem in their organization. I want somebody to say, yep, I reminded them one time too many, and that was the end of it. By the way, there's a great story I forgot to tell. There's a wonderful company in the Midwest, a technology company, and we went out and worked with the CEO. This was years ago. And he over-communicated all the time. And he was about to do it again, and the people on his executive team said, oh, don't say that again to employees, because, of course, they heard it more than the employees. And we went out to work with them, and he told us that they were teasing him about it. And we said, no, you need to do that. He was like, see, that's it. And we showed him in the book where it was. And he's like, they almost beat me down. Sometimes it's actually the people around you on your leadership team that are a little tired of hearing something. But like, they also have to realize people two or three levels below in the organization have not even come close to being over-communicated to. So
one of the ideas that Working Genius has really helped in terms of communication is knowing kind of our own voice and our own geniuses and how we communicate. And another that I'll just steal from Cody, and then I'd love to hear you share about, Cody, is that galvanizing is not a one-time activity. That even though the six types of Working Genius go in order, that galvanizing is something we're always doing, kind of always have our foot on the gas. What does that look like for you as a galvanizer, Cody?
Yeah, I like it goes back to sort of the, in many ways, I think it's like institutionalizing your culture without bureaucratizing it. There's a lot of different ways to over-communicate your clarity. And I think of galvanizing as a part inspiration. First, I want to lead with, how do we inspire people to like really, you know, catch the vision of our company and our values and our strategic anchors. And then sometimes it's actually just part pushing, which is, boy, I got to just get out there and keep banging the drum, even though it's, you know, a little harder, a little bit more of a slog. Or there's ways to find creative, you know, creative ways to do that. And creativity isn't always, let's put it on a t-shirt. You know, we had a problem in our organization a couple of years ago where we were bad at celebrating things. And so we found, we bought a blowhorn and we were like, hey, we're just going to go way over the top with trying to figure out ways to celebrate things. So we'd blow a blowhorn in the office and come read an email that somebody gave us. So, but it's just about finding whatever fits your culture, find creative, unique ways. It's not like, hey, get the slogan and then as often as you can say the slogan or
that's go right out
and say the mission over and over again. The best organizations find really creative ways to do it in a variety of means, you know? And so galvanizing is a over communication piece, but you got to find a bunch of ways to do that, not just the go out and hit the rote song over and over again.
And remember, I should have said this earlier, but what we're talking about communicating more often than not, almost always, is the answers to those six critical questions. So why do we exist again? And how do we behave? And, you know, what business are we in? And what's our strategy? And what's most important right now? And who does what? That's the song sheet. And you should be singing stuff off that song sheet again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
You know, it maybe in particular, the working on Zoom has made this possible. But I think that most meetings, Cody, we do that. In where we start the meeting, the first 120 seconds where we say, hey, everybody, we're here because we want to promote human dignity and truth. And right now, the way that we're doing that is we're maximizing Working Genius adoption. So we're here today to talk about, I mean, it's so simple and it gets everybody from thinking about the text they got about their kid's school, and they're wondering what they're going to do over their weekend. It gets everybody just looking in the same direction of like, yes, what we're doing matters. I remember the part that I have to play here. I even know the context of this meeting.
Yeah, I have not been doing that at our meetings lately. I'm embarrassed.
Well, you know, I'll say this because I'll preface this with, I always tell people, hey, keep in mind, we do a weekly podcast. So if you hang out with me, I'm going to use a story about some version of our conversation that we had today on the podcast. But just this morning, I was with a podcast listener who actually reached out, a guy named Brandon. Shout out to Brandon. But we had a really fun breakfast, and he's doing this very thing at a ski resort near us. And I love the way he described it. We got to over communication, and he's like, okay, so one of my favorite things I do is I coach a little girl soccer team like that my daughter's on. And one of the things I tell them all the time is, here's how you're going to get really good at possessing the ball is you got to get 1,000 touches. You just think about getting 1,000 touches, and it's little moments here and there. So at home, you know, pass the ball back and forth. And he's like, that's the way I think about the communication at my department is I tell people we're starting a fire with flint and like steel. And so we're just going to do that. And if you only do it 6 times, you're kind of a fool to think, oh, I'm going to start a big fire by flint and steel in 6 tries. But if you keep trying it and you like nurture it and you keep doing that, then eventually everyone in the organization will be standing around a bonfire of like, boy, we're all hearing the same message. And I love that analogy because he knew it. If you're doubting whether or not it's working, just keep going. And then eventually you'll see that like flame is getting a little bigger and a little bigger, and more people are drawn to that clarity and drawn to that story. And like you said, Pat, nobody has ever left an organization because they heard the purpose of it or were told it was important too many times.
That's right. So I think we're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to do something I should probably do and say to my wife, Laura, I love you. There you go. And all of us. And we love our audience too. And we're going to tell you that every time. Okay. Thanks everybody for being on the podcast. We'll look forward to talking next time. This was our 150th episode. We'll look forward to 151 next week. Take care, everyone. God bless.